In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be comfortable. I'm John. I'm the bishop in the Diocese of Los Angeles, and I'm your occasional narrator for a presentation about Handel's Messiah that, by the grace of God, occurs most Sunday afternoons on the first Sunday of Advent at St. Cross Church, where Sean and his predecessors and the mighty St. Cross Choir proclaim through the gift of music the word of, in many cases, the prophet Isaiah, who speaks to us of God's impatience with those who do not make peace, which this morning ends up being a larger theme than any of us had anticipated. So this place rings with Isaiah. May it ring with peacemaking in the days and weeks and years ahead. For now, I just want to say again what a joy it is always to be at St. Cross and experiencing the way this place brims with welcome and love and a spirit of faithful service. Reverend Rachel, your brilliant rector these 19 years, is known all over the Episcopal Church as an innovator. Too many brilliant deacons and priests to count have gotten themselves graduated from the Nybeck Finishing School here at St. Croix. But the thing is, she's got a class now, and she doesn't want to let go of them. As I give thanks for her, she always does for Stephen and Josh and Patty. She calls your wardens Jack the Magnificent and Lilibeth the Marvelous. But of course, that's Rachel's way. Lifting up her colleagues is one of the things that makes her such a great servant leader. And these days, at my request, without any discernible hesitation, which would have been understandable in the circumstances, these days, Reverend Rachel has taken on the additional diocesan ministry of working with parishes all around our 5.5 counties, from the Central Coast all through Southern California, parishes that are struggling to achieve their canonically required annual giving, because it is tough being church in these secularizing times these days. And churches are struggling to recognize how essential they are to the way God's Spirit is moving toward justice and equity. So it's hard to be church our way. And there is no better person to come alongside as a pastor to her colleagues, since no one better understands the daily challenges of parochial leadership than Reverend Rachel. Now, I haven't even started the sermon yet, which is a little bit ironic. Rachel didn't exactly tell me to keep it short this morning. She's much too diplomatic and kind for that, but she did remind me that we had 10 or 11 coming to be confirmed and received this morning. She did remind me that we have a stewardship presentation to enjoy, and she did point out that it's Faith in Blue Weekend, when we give thanks for the kind of progressive, humane law enforcement leadership that Hermosa Beach enjoys, thanks to Chief Paul LeBaron, who will be with you for a presentation in person later this month. And on top of all that, if that weren't enough, Reverend Rachel has things to do at home, since word has reached diocesan leadership in Echo Park that she and Chad are getting married in approximately 20 days and 3 hours. All that, and now, gracious pilgrims to the land of the Holy One, Pilgrim Rachel and others among you who I know have visited the place where our Lord walked, in Israel and Palestine, the second weekend after Yom Kippur, Nearly 1,000 Israelis and Palestinians are already dead after a savage surprise attack launched from Gaza by Hamas. And there is so much impossible agony to come. I started with Isaiah. In a way, the Christ event is inconceivable without Isaiah. And we heard the prophet Isaiah this morning in words as though they had been written for this dark day in our world. The prophet proclaimed, "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the people of Judah are his pleasant planting. The Lord expected justice, but saw bloodshed. Righteousness, but heard a cry." Lord, hear our cry this morning. We lament Hamas's unrighteous attack and all the lives that have been lost. We lament every lost opportunity for peace with justice year after year, epoch on epoch, that could have kept this renewed war from the pages of history. All the people of Israel and Palestine deserve peace and freedom and security and the right of national self-determination. Only by God's infinite grace can those who hold power in that region find the courage and the inspiration to pledge that these dark, dark days will at last portend the beginning of the end of darkness. But my friends, we are part of that story. This is not separate from us. We are in the midst of it. We're also in the midst of a pretty long season in the church of studying Jesus' parables. Regular churchgoers have no doubt noticed this. Thanks to the lectionary, which is our schedule of weekly readings, where grace surely abides, the lectionary always tells us what we need to hear on a difficult Sunday morning. And this morning, we've heard the parable of the landowner. And meanwhile, people are fighting over land in Israel and Palestine and Ukraine. In Azerbaijan, 120,000 Armenians were just driven from ancestral lands. And on top of all that, climate change threatens to flood lands that millions call home. Our tender, spinning vineyard is under assault all over. Let me be brief, as Reverend Rachel has suggested that I do, at least with my interpretation of the parable, which is a complex one, but it comes down to this. God gave us all that we have. God gave us all of these resources, and God put a fence around it all, and God called it God's. And then God waited for the stewards of creation to become wise enough to listen to God keenly enough to finally reap the harvest that God craves, which is love of God and love of neighbor, which is mutual servanthood and care, each putting the other first. Like a parish church, for instance, that praises God with magnificent worship and music and the shimmering sounds of handbells. A parish that sends its tenants to Long Beach to give showers to the unhoused. A parish that does laundry love every month and starts a new feeding program. A parish that can't wait for the stewardship drive to get underway so you can keep building up the community that does so much to glorify God and care for God's people. Yes, it is a blessing to be in this corner of the vineyard, but God doesn't get such abundant produce from every other corner of the vineyard, and that is the problem. Over the centuries, God sends lawgivers. God sends Isaiah and Jeremiah and all the prophets. God sent our gentle Savior who came to be servant of all and pour himself out. Surely if God is a servant, we might understand what God needs us to be. But no, God sent them all in love. And the frightened and unjust tenants cut them all down in hate because they wanted to keep the vineyard for themselves. My friends in Christ, thanks to Hamas and the lectionary, our themes today are real estate and making more room in the vineyard for everybody. Real estate, first of all, as in a non-binary person, always being able to enjoy the simple right of having a safe place to use the bathroom. A migrant having sanctuary. An unhoused person in a rich and powerful society always having a place at least to lay their heads. A child and a spouse having a home that's always safe. This all sounds pretty basic, doesn't it? But for each of these things to happen, I sit in front of an economist who's about to be confirmed. For each of these things to happen, someone has to move over and make room. Someone's got to cede some space. Someone's got to give something up. In the parable, Jesus confesses God's preference, and God's preference is for people who produce the fruits of the kingdom, people who love self-sacrificially, who lay down pride and privilege. Yes, God even has a preference for people who let an annoying person have the last word in an argument about politics. See, here's the thing. This is very personal stuff. I had better be willing to do this sacrificial work on real estate close to home. In other words, the real estate that beats in the center of my chest. I better be prepared to do that before I tell Biden, Trump, or Netanyahu what to do. If you approach me, I had better smile and say hello. If you give me the wrong drink at Starbucks, I had better not bite your head off. Indeed, if you make any kind of a mistake, I had better not make you feel any worse than you feel already. If you ask to pull in front of me on the freeway, I'd better let you. If you have a weak moment and say something unkind to me, I'd better hold my tongue instead of replying in kind, because I'll probably reply disproportionately. That's what people almost always do in response to aggression. If you're hungry, if you're homeless, if you're addicted, if you're mentally unwell on the street, and you come up to me and you ask me for one measly dollar, I better give it to you. These good tenant principles have to do with my heart's territory. And then there's the three-dimensional element of our just proclaimed Real Estate Sunday here at St. Cross Parish. In recognition of Indigenous Peoples Day, we've already identified ourselves as stewards of land once owned by others, all too often brutally seized by our forebears. We can't give it back, but we can pay it forward. St. Cross's Art of the Possible Task Force is envisioning the highest, best, humane use for what you own. And at the diocese, we're following suit by pledging to build affordable housing on 25% of our 133 church campuses, by which we're hoping to give up to 5,000 friends we haven't met yet places to lay their heads. We couldn't do it without Reverend Rachel's and Mary Pearson's help on the corporation of the diocese during this busy season. And we're not going to be able to do any of this without this class being confirmed and received. My friends, I actually spent half an hour before church trying to talk them out of it. I told them that in this culture of ours, which is becoming more impatient and more selfish, more insistent on peculiar narratives, it is countercultural to stand in front of the altar of God and promise to pour yourself out for the sake of God's people self-sacrificially as Jesus did. It is no smart way to behave in this world where what is mine, and what's yours is negotiable. And my friends, it's not getting better, it's getting worse. And because it's getting worse, because battle lines are hardening, because rates of loneliness and social isolation are increasing year by year, I'm glad I wasn't able to talk them out of it, because we need every one of them. And Jesus needs them, and Jesus needs you to do this hard work. And if you hear a voice saying that the church is done, that Jesus' model as expressed in the Episcopal Church of the mystery of resurrection combined with the insistence on justice for all across all barriers of orientation, identification, ethnicity, race, and nation. If anyone tells you that the Episcopal Church is done, that voice is not coming from the heart of the God of love. Because Jesus needs you more than Jesus ever has. Please don't hear me minimizing or trivializing the agony in Israel or Palestine. We can and should advocate for peace with justice in the Holy Land. We can pray and pray hard that God will at last send peacemakers to harvest peace in the vineyard where our Lord and Savior was born and taught and died and rose again. We have to do all that work and more. But this morning, we cannot force Hamas to make peace. We can't force Israel at last to make room for its Palestinian neighbors. We are powerful, but we're not that powerful this morning. But we can make room in our hearts for a little more self-giving love. And we can make room on our properties for thousands and thousands of our unhoused neighbors. It's what the landlord wants us to do. And it's what faithful tenants do. In the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.